Well, welcome back to the Kingfisher Podcast with Eric and Bron Whitley. We're really glad that you're joining us once again. And we have some good topics to talk about today, I think.
Yeah, today we're discussing the attitude of gratitude.
Just to put a title to it.
Being cutesy. But, you know, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, and it's really struck me because lately I've been a little bit anxious about career and where am I going? And I think we can all go through those seasons where you're like, what direction am I taking right now? Where am I headed? Where is this all leading to? How am I going to make ends meet? That sort of thing can really start to wear on us sometimes. And if we focus on that, that can give us anxiety. It can cause us to struggle and to have stress in our life and cause friction in our relationships and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and even maybe doubt God. I'm glad you've brought this topic up today. This is something I've actually been thinking about as I do my prayer journals each day. I don't know if I feel convicted or if it's God, but I've just noticed like I'm writing less requests, or when I do make requests to God, I'm going, oh, I don't know if I should ask this or not, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. I'm finding instead of doing that, I'm writing more sort of praise, phrases of praise and adoration towards God, or at least I'm trying to do that. And I don't know if it's something that he's doing in me or not, but it is something that's been on my mind lately of trying to come to a place of contentment, even when maybe we're on a part of our journey that's still a long way from the end.
Yeah, it's interesting when God gives you promises or asks you, invites you into a season of life. So for us, we're in a season where we feel like God has invited us into this place and given us a task or a focus. And sometimes when he does that, you end up kind of sitting in flux. You don't really know what the next step is. You don't really know even which direction to head, because you're being obedient, you're following what he's called you to do, and you're looking around going, okay, well, what now, God? And sometimes he doesn't really answer that because you're doing what he's asked you to do and he doesn't give specifics all the time.
That's true. And I mean, there are seasons. We've talked about that. There's seasons of life. Sometimes we're in the season. We're asking God for spring or summer, but we're stuck in winter and we need to try and find contentment in that and find peace in that instead of always, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, looking for something in the future.
For me, it's really easy because I'm an author, so I write books. It's really easy for me to look at other authors who write books and think, why are their books doing so much better than mine? Or why are they achieving this goal or that goal that I would love to achieve those goals? It's so easy to compare and to feel envious. But what I really feel like God is placing on my heart is that I should be content in him and not be looking for the next thing that he can give me.
Yeah, we do live in such a materialistic and fast food sort of culture, as I call it, where we want something, we want it now, we want it how we want it, you know, and we've lost the ability, I think, at times to be patient, to be persistent, to just kind of grind it out sometimes, because sometimes that's what we need to do, is to grind it out, to just get low and dirty and keep going. And that's where we actually grow, and that's where God does stuff in us to mature us and to bless us, not so much with whatever that end point is that we've got in our bullseye, you know, in our crosshairs, whatever, but it's the experience of going there.
Yeah, God doesn't always have the same goals that we might have. And so for him, it's more about the goal that he has, the plan that he has might be to grow your character while you're looking at, I want to achieve this particular thing, or I want to be able to save up for a holiday, or I want to be able to get this promotion at work, or whatever the goal you might have in your mind is, that may not be what God's goal is. He might want you to learn compassion, or he might want you to learn patience, or he might want you to change direction. Sometimes he closes doors, or that you're busy pounding against the door going, why is this door closed? This is unfair. Everyone else has had the door open for them and now it's shut in my face. He might want you to change direction and go through a different door, and you're so busy beating against the door and screaming and wailing, because look, I've been there and done that, so that's why I'm describing it this way, because often I will beat against the door and go, well, this is unfair. I saw it was open for everyone else and now it's been shut for me, because God wanted me to change and go in a different direction. And so what it's really important to keep our focus on God, to be listening to him, to be in submission to his purpose and his will, because he will often lead us in a different direction than we thought. And that is always going to be better than the plan that we had for ourselves. It says in Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I love that because it really describes how we should approach life in general. You know, David had all kinds of things going on around him. He was being pursued and people wanted to kill him and all sorts of stuff going on in his life. And he said, "What else do I need? I've got you, God. You know, the desire of my heart is you." And I think I could definitely learn to do that better, to desire only God. You know, he's all I need. And the things that I want pale in comparison. You know, if I focus my attention on the fact that he is the giver of gifts and that I should be giving him my gratitude and my love and focus entirely on him, then I'm not anxious or worried about what's coming next.
I think God often brings us into these places for us to learn and to grow. As you say, I think often he's growing our character or he's teaching us something about his character. We get really focused on outcomes, whether it's finishing a degree or getting a raise, or maybe it's just paying the bills, buy a new car. We have all these desires and goals and aspirations, and they're very important to us. But I think the way God looks at us, he's not so worried about that sort of thing. I know I've had so many teenagers when I was a youth pastor always ask me those questions of, what is God's will for my life? What should I do? You know, should I be a doctor? Should I be a pastor? What does God want for my life? I want to know God's will. And I very much believe God doesn't really care what you become. He just cares how you do it. And if you're doing it with him and in him, I think he's given us free will to do whatever we want. So he's not so concerned with us getting a new job or a promotion or any of that sort of stuff. He's concerned about relationship with us. And I think that contentment is a real sign of maturity. You know, you look at Paul, he talks about contentment and he says, you know, "I've learned to be content in all circumstances."
That's such a hard thing to do, because when I think about it for myself, it's almost like you letting go of the plans that you have and you saying, "I'm just going to be content in you, God, whatever happens." I mean, that's really difficult, but I think it's so important. And the reason I think that God says that we should do this, and the Bible is full of this sort of stuff, you know, seek first my kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, don't worry over and over, it says in the Bible, don't be afraid. The reason for that is because he knows that anxiety is bad for us. It doesn't benefit us in any way. It impacts our health. It impacts our mental health. It impacts our relationships. And he doesn't want us to live in that place. He wants us to rely on him as a good father to provide everything we need.
Yeah. When I've been doing my prayer journal, I'm looking at it from a bigger perspective for once, as opposed to just my little inner world and everything else. Because I'm thinking in my request in contrast to what people are experiencing in the Middle East right now, you know, or in a communist country or some place where they have all these restrictions, they don't know where their next meal's coming from, but yet they can find peace and contentment in God despite all those circumstances. I mean, when Paul did say that, I mean, he gave out the different circumstances that he learned to be content in. And when he had a lot, when he had a little, when he was in prison, when he was free, you know, he found contentment wherever. And it was because he just had such a great understanding of that relationship he had with God and what that meant. So all those outside things and extra things become quite meaningless, whether you have your freedom or not. Doesn't matter if God is in you and God is with you. But that's hard for somebody like you and I. We live in the Western world. We have a nice house and nice kids and two cars and a dog. And, you know, life is pretty normal and wonderful and very blessed. And yet we do, as I say, I'm finding myself almost feeling guilty for asking God for things. I know he wants us to ask. He does say, he says, you know, ask me and pray to me and I'll answer you. So I know there's nothing wrong with asking. I guess I'm looking more at the motives of my heart. Why am I asking for this? You know, why am I making these requests? Is it a selfish thing? Is it for a bigger purpose? And I think I'm realizing that a lot of times it is just a selfish motivation of why I'm bringing certain requests to God.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think a lot of times the things that I ask for, if I really looked at the motives, it would be more selfish or possibly fear. Sometimes we ask for things out of fear, like bless me with a pay raise because I'm afraid that we won't be able to meet the bills that we have, that sort of thing. And so I think learning to be able to be grateful to God for what he has given us and to be content in the circumstances that we're in, it's a valuable lesson that we can learn because it will help us to have peace and it will give us a healthy and happier life. But also it helps to grow our faith, and it's where God wants us to be, in that submission to him, in an attitude of gratitude, and just relying on him for everything we need.
Well, I mean, he's already promised to meet our needs. And that's the thing. If I look at my life, the things I'm asking God for are kind of selfish because he's provided everything else. I'm not left wanting in any way.
Yeah. And sometimes as Christians, it can feel like, okay, he's providing everything I need, but only just, and I'm just scraping by. So it'd be great if there was a buffer, but you know, he didn't say, I'll give you a buffer.
No, he didn't. And I guess, as you've said, with gratitude, we need to have this gratitude and recognize what he's already done. I think we just rush past it, which is, you know, very much like a child. As parents, I see with my own kids, particularly our son, he will get zoned in on something. He has to have something, whether that's a new baseball bat or PlayStation or something. He gets zoned in on it. And he just asks and asks and asks and comes up with plans, and then he'll come up with a way to earn the money for it. And, you know, he just keeps going with it. And then once he has that thing, he's on to the next thing. And I feel like sometimes he doesn't even enjoy the thing that he so wanted.
Yeah, there's not a lot of gratitude.
Because he's ready for the next thing.
Yeah. And we do that.
I was going to say, and that's not to disparage him. I think we are very much that way. And I think God sees us that way sometimes too. I think he probably shakes his head the way that we shake our head at
like
him.
If we've been praying for the promotion, we get the promotion, we might say, wow, thanks God. And then we're on to the next thing.
Yeah. And so much, you know, so much of what we ask God for in the big scheme of things is so worthless. And it is just personal, selfish desires. You know, God, you've blessed me with all this, but can you bless me just a little bit more with this? I don't know. Like I say, I'm kind of having arguments with myself as I'm praying in the mornings, because I know God wants us to make our request known to him. But then I'm sort of going, I don't feel like I'm asking the right thing or for the right reason. And if I'm not asking for the right reason, then I start to try and justify it. And then it's like, I know God knows that I'm trying to justify it so that I'm not really justifying it. And, you know, I just go in this vicious circle. I'm just being real and just being honest.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people probably can relate to that. You know, we're on a journey. You and I, we do this podcast, but we're not trying to say we're experts or the masters of anything. We're just sharing our own journey and our own.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the reason we started the podcast is because you and I would have these kind of discussions all the time. We always have big, in-depth discussions about topics. And we thought we probably should just record it.
Probably should. Somebody else might benefit from our mistakes, learn from us. Being content, like that is such a hard thing, to just be content. Like if you stop today, as you're listening to this, I just encourage you to stop and think about all the blessing that you already have. Like we all have issues, we all have circumstances, we all have needs of some degree, whether selfish or realistic, you know, real needs, but stop and just think about how God has already blessed you and give him some thanks for that. And I think that's what we have to do to come to that place of gratitude, is we have to actually intentionally stop and recognize all the ways that God has already blessed us. And even if he hasn't blessed you in some amazing financial way or materialistic way, as I say, we have a nice house and a car and blah, 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 blah. God's blessed us materially in amazing ways. It's not the fanciest house. It's not the biggest house. It's not a mansion. It's just a house. But it's a really nice house, and we're very thankful for it. But, you know, we stop sometimes and we want to do something else to the house. It's not good enough. We want a pool, or we want something, you know, added on to it.
I've given up on the pool.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That's an answer to prayer right there. I think we need to stop and really recognize what God has already done before we start asking for more.
Yeah, and the Bible does tell us to present our requests to God with thanksgiving. And I think there's something so powerful about being thankful. I have noticed in my own life, and I think this is advice for others as well, if you're feeling a bit down, if you're feeling low, anxious, any of those sorts of things about the future and what's going on in your life, take some time to sit with God and give thanks.
Yeah.
And it really does change your whole attitude around.
Well, it wasn't until a few years ago, and you'll know this, in my 20s, I pursued a music career. I wanted to be a signed musician with a band, be the rock star, whatever. And we were actually, the band that I was in was very, very successful. We got to play most of the big concerts and with other artists and that sort of thing. We just never got signed. But that whole time, all through my 20s, I really regret, because I was always looking ahead and I never took the time to sort of take a breath in and go, this is pretty cool. I'm getting to play on this huge stage with thousands of people in the audience and, you know, they're buying my t-shirts and whatever else. It was just a step for me. It didn't mean anything to me at that time because I had no gratitude for what we had accomplished. And then at some point it just sort of ended and it was gone. And it took me years to kind of look back and go, I need to start to live in the moment. I need to start to live right now, be thankful for now. Doesn't mean don't have goals, but to realize right now is pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why God wants us to be thankful. He wants us to stop and look around and take that in, take the moment in. When something happens in our life that's a blessing or that's a good thing, we should celebrate that. And you know I'm big on celebrations. I always like to celebrate if something goes right. And I think that part of that celebration is with God, telling him, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done. And we can always complain when things go badly, but I think we often forget to be thankful and celebrate with God when things go well.
For sure. I think we need to make this almost a spiritual discipline. I don't think we're going to do it naturally. I think it has to be something of intentionality to find ways to remind ourselves to stop. Again, we're a very busy culture. Pretty much anybody you talk to, how are you going? Oh, yeah, I'm good, super busy. Like there's some phrase or some element of that statement in just about everybody I talk to. And I say it too. Yeah, I had a good week. It was really, really full on, you know, and we had this and this and this and this happen. And we're very busy people and we don't stop. And I'll get on a soapbox. You know, now we have all these mobile phones. And so even in those moments where we could take a breath, we're on the phone, we're stimulating our mind, we're wasting time, we don't rarely stop and reflect. And I think that's why the Bible says, be still. Yeah. I mean, he just about commands us, be still and know that I'm God. So first we got to quiet ourselves and be still. And then we have to recognize that he is God.
And trust him. I think that's what that verse is saying is, I'm God. Just trust me. Be still and trust me. You don't have to have your legs going 100 miles an hour and your brain jumping from one thing to the next constantly, trying to figure everything out. Be still. Relax. He's God. He's got it under control.
You know, a side note to what we're talking about, asking God for things when we should be grateful for what we already have, many times we go past him and try and get those things on our own. And then that adds even more busyness to our lives. So I want a nicer car, so I'm going to go work a second job, or I'm going to do something extra. And it takes that time away that we could actually be worshiping God, spending time in His presence. When you're exhausted, it's kind of the last thing you want to do is to stop and spend time with God. We try to find things, like for me, I'm a classic man. I like to sit on the couch and watch sports or watch a movie, and that's how I veg out. When I'm exhausted at the end of a day, that's what I want to do. But it does take effort, and it takes intention to turn towards God. I could just as easily sit in His presence and probably would get way more out of it than anything I watch or experience on TV sitting on the couch.
Yeah, and I think also David gives us a really good model for this because, you know, in Psalms, as I mentioned before, he was going through a lot of things in his life. And a lot of the Psalms start off with him complaining about everyone's against me and they're all trying to take me down and life sucks. Mm-hmm. But then it always turns around to, but I'm going to praise you, God, because you're good and you've given me so much and I love you. And I think that's a really good model for us. Yes, you know, go to God with the things that are going wrong in your life. If you're going through a hard time, you're grieving something or you've had a loss or some, you know, there's obstacles in your path. Go to Him, take those things to Him, share that with Him, whatever's on your heart, and then turn it around and thank Him and praise Him for what He has done.
Yeah, I think that's a practical way to start to cultivate gratitude in your heart is by thanking Him. You know, my mother used to say, count your blessings, you know, count your blessings. I remember at some point, I think I was having trouble sleeping or something. And so she told me to lay in bed and count my blessings. Think of all the things I'm thankful for.
That's a great strategy.
It is. How rarely do we actually do that, where we stop and we count our blessings? Like even in doing this podcast, I'm just sitting here thinking about all the things that God has done, all the stuff He has given me, and just realizing I need to be more grateful for that.
And I'll give a little shout out to my prayer jar in the kitchen that I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago. That's a great way of doing it too. If you have set aside a jar or a little book or something to write down all of the blessings in your life, the things that God's done for you, the answers to prayer, and then you can open that up when you're having a low day and you can go through that and praise God for the things that He's done.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way to remind yourself of God's goodness, because we all have bad days or bad seasons and it's hard. And sometimes it does feel like God is not there anymore, or He's, you know, distant and doesn't care. But when we go back and look at what all He's done, recall that. That's one of the things I think David says a lot in the Psalms as well, is I'm going to recall all the good things that you've done for me. I remember the way that you did this. I remember how you know, saved me from the enemy. And he recalls that stuff and brings it back up and brings it to his mind so that he can feel thankful and grateful for what God has done. You know, we talked about that recently when we were talking about healing, of focusing on what God has done, not what He hasn't done. And I think that's where a lot of times we stop being grateful, is because we ask for something and He seems to not answer that. And so we cross our arms and get grumpy and go, God's not listening and He doesn't love me. And well, none of that's true. I think back to be still and know that He's God. If He is God, then He's all those things that the Bible tells us that He is. He loves us. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's going to meet our needs. He's going to, you know, He's saved us. He's, you know.
And it's really an intentional act to choose to trust Him, even when it looks like things are not going the way that you think they should, because maybe He's wanting you to change direction. Maybe He's wanting you to learn something. We don't know all the time what God is doing, but we can ask Him. And so instead of getting upset with Him and being offended at Him, have a conversation with Him. Ask Him, what is this that you're doing in my life, God? And where am I going from here? And then turn it around to praise Him and say, I don't understand, but I praise you anyway, because I trust in you and you are a good Father and I love you and I will always give you worship.
Yeah, it's no different than being parents. I think being a parent, if you haven't had that opportunity yet and you're married and you want kids, I highly recommend being a parent.
Best thing you'll ever do.
I always say it's the most wonderful, terrible thing you'll ever do. It's very challenging and very rewarding all at the same time. But you learn to sort of see from God's perspective in being a parent. Because sometimes we make choices for our children that they don't like or they don't understand, but we do it out of our love and out of the wisdom.
For what's best for them.
Yeah, the wisdom that we have as adults. Eventually, you know, I hear other parents say it takes 25, 30 years. They sometimes come back and go,
and grateful.
I'm really glad you were so hard on me, Dad, or I'm really glad that you made me do that.
So let's not take 25 years to thank God.
No. No. I guess we'll leave a challenge today. The challenge is for the rest of this week to take time each day, even if it's only for 30 seconds, but for some time each day, thank God for something. Be grateful and thank Him. Thank Him for the weather. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for your health.
His character.
His character, whatever it may be. Thank God every day this week and start to turn your heart into a heart of gratitude towards Him as opposed to a heart that just wants more, looking for more and more. Well, we're very grateful for you, the listener. We're glad that so many of you join us each week, and we hope that you continue to do that. And I just pray that this week you would just find so much to thank God for as you start to examine your life and give Him thanks. This has been the Kingfisher Podcast with Eric and Bron Whitley. Have a blessed day.